It finished as Sean ran out of breath. Unsteadily, Razor twisted round on the front bench. Tears were streaming down the possessed man's cheeks. He drew breath and howled again. Kelly's hands were clasped against her puckered lips. "What?" she wailed. "What is it?" Her eyes shut instinctively at the next outburst. Razor tried to block it all out and project some comfort to Fenton and Ryle. "Pat," he datavised, "can Octon see anything happening?" "Not a thing," the second-in-command answered from the other hovercraft. "What's going on? Wallace frightened the shit out of us." "I've no idea." Kelly shook Sean's arm imploringly. "What's wrong? What is it? Speak to me." Panic was giving her voice a shrill edge. "Sean!" Sean gulped down a breath, his shoulders shivering. He lowered his head until he was staring at Razor. "You!" he hissed. "You killed them!" Razor looked at him through a cross-grid of yellow target graphics. His forearm gauze rifle was aimed directly at the possessed man's temple. "Killed who?" "The city. The whole city. I felt them go, thousands upon thousands blown back to the beyond like so much ash. Your devil bomb. It went off. No, it was set off. What kind of creatures are you to slaughter so indiscriminately?" Razor felt a grin reflex coming on, which his restructured face portrayed as a moderate widening of his mouth slit. "Someone got through, didn't they? Someone hit back." Sean's head sagged brokenly. "One man. That's all. One bloody man. So you're not invincible after all. I hope it pains you, Mr. Wallace. I hope it pains all your kind. That way you may begin to know something of the horror we felt when we found out what you did to this planet's children." The flash of guilt on the man's face proved the barb had hit home. "Oh, yes, Mr. Wallace, we know. Even if Kelly here is too tactful to mention it, we know the barbarism we are dealing with." "What bomb?" Kelly asked. "What are you two talking about?"
"Ask him," Sean said, and sneered at Razor. "Ask him how he was intending to help the poor people of this planet he was hired to save."
"Razor?" The mercenary leader swayed as the hovercraft banked around a boulder. "Terence Smith was concerned we might not get all the fire support we needed from the starships. He gave each team leader a nuke."
"Oh, Christ!" Kelly looked from one man to the other. "Do you mean you've got one as well?"
"You should know, Kelly," Razor said. "You're sitting on it." She tried to jump to her feet, only to have Sean grab her arm and keep her sitting.
"Have you learned nothing of him yet, Miss Kelly? There's no human part left in that mockery of a body."
"Point to your body, Mr. Wallace, the one you were born with," Razor said. "After that, I'll talk morality and ethics with you all day long." They stared at each other. Darkness began to fall. Kelly looked up to see the red light bleeding from the cloud, leaving behind a swollen slate-gray mantle, massing sinisterly low overhead. A blade of purple-white lightning screwed down on the savannah to the east.
"What's happening?" Kelly shouted as thunder crashed over the hovercraft. "You are happening, Miss Kelly. They sense you. They fear and hate you. Now your true nature and power has been exposed. This is the last mercenary team left, you see. None of the others survived."
"So what will they do?"
"Hunt you down, whatever the cost, below the muzzles of your weapons."
2 hours after Warlow had left Lady Mac, Joshua was accessing the flight computer's memory cores, looking for records of starships jumping from inside a Lagrange point. He and Dibe had gone through the small amount of available data on Murora 7, using it to refine their computations of the Lagrange point's size and position, locking the figures into the trajectory plot. He could pilot Lady Mac right into its heart, no doubt about that. Now he wanted to know what would happen when the energy patterning nodes were activated. There was a lot of theory in the physics files about how it should be possible, but no actual verified ZTT jump. "Who's going to be stupid enough to take part in an experiment like that?" he asked himself. But he was lying on his acceleration couch.
and Dibby, Ashley, and Sarah were on the bridge with him, so he kept any qualms to himself.